Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning of a new week. Love how the music just cuts off like that. It's not supposed to do that, but that's okay. That's the Quarantine Mania theme. The music that I use for this journey that we've all been on for about 13 months. Pretty, so much to talk about. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in and thank you for continuing to listen. And, you know, always remember, a lot of people don't realize that we do the show live, and sometimes we pre-record it. Sometimes we plug in a little bit of both, which is what's going on right now. And during the course of the show, the phone lines are open. And if you're listening to this on the app right now, Blog Talk Radio window, you'll see a guest call-in number. Not like you have anything to write it down right the second, but it's 563-999-3084. And, you know, usually we take a couple of calls during the course of the show. And the line's open. You can talk, chime into what we're talking about, or you might have a question. Thank you for continuing to send me emails for recipes and response on the Facebook Food Mania page. Is getting inquiries and pictures and desires about recipes and things. So thank you for messaging me. Hopefully it's helpful. All right, so much going on. So, you know, a lot of restaurants, at least here in the Northwest on the island, are opening a little bit, you know, more. Some of the ones that continue to work through the pandemic would take out or build some outdoor facilities. They got them to this point, and now they're actually have opened the doors to a lot of them. For started at 25%, now I think it's somewhere hovering around 50%. Though I've noticed in my little travels that some of the places seem to be a little bit fuller than that. But I'm not inside, so I'm not really quite sure. For the most part, people are adhering to you know, the standard regulations within the restaurant, seating people far enough apart and dealing with the whole idea of, in some cases, temperature checks and then the mask thing. And it's becoming such a huge debate. And, you know, it's really important to separate the politics, separate all the opinions that are, you know, anything related to, you know, a conspiracy to take people's freedom away, which honestly is floating out there, as you all know. So I'm reading the comments on the local chat board, so to speak. And I expected to see, you know, the question was something about masks and how are food workers and different people dealing with it, what's the different opinions. And so I got on and I started reading the comments, and in my mind, I pre-thought, you know, well, probably for the most part, at least that's the general feeling I get for the area that I happen to live in, that most people are adhering to those rules and being pretty, you know, the way, you know, the way it's like putting on your shirt before you, you know, go out. People are just doing it, and it seems very, people are being very respectful. I've had virtually almost no incidents where anybody was arguing about it or somebody didn't, follow that kind of idea. And in some cases when somebody might have forgotten, I've heard somebody mention it to somebody else and the response was always, oh gosh, I forgot. And I've done that a few times. I mean, I have it with me, but sometimes you just, in a moment, especially early on, you just forget. And then also early on, we're so overly protective that we didn't forget. So here's my point. The responses, it ended up being that we're mostly, oh, I'm not wearing masks, they're taking away my freedom. Somebody, you know, I live in Georgia and we've been free for a long time. And in Florida, I've been out to you for 3 months and never wore a mask once. You know, okay, you're going to see that. And then, of course, the other side of it, the responses are, you know, don't go to the restaurant if you don't, you know, think that that's something that's going to bother you. Most restaurants, if they're following the guidelines to be able to stay open and keep in this phase four, have to do certain things. And if you're not doing it, one of these days somebody's going to notice and you're going to have a problem. It's such a big argument with freedom and rights. And, you know, I've always tried to remain sort of neutral on the basic bullshit on our show. But, you know, when there was something that I thought was a red flag, something that really needed to be talked about, we always bring it up. And if it's really important information, whether it would be, remember when they first opened the first testing center in Mount Vernon, Washington at the community college, it was a really important big announcement. And this was really in the earliest stages of testing. You know, we always try to provide that. And everything went pretty smooth. And then we'd have our occasional hiccups. But, you know, with all said and done, and as far as vaccinations, I know many of you out there have started to receive them. Some of you have received both doses. But there are also a lot of you that are afraid and don't want to go that route yet. And I say, listen, you have to do what you have to do. And the people I know that are sort of waiting, in some cases by choice, because they're in that age group that, you know, the shots were available. But in some cases, people who are just about ready to be able to do it still are on the fence about it. And some of these people I know for many, many years, and I know them, and I know why they're being cautious right now. And hopefully it seems to me that more and more people who are getting more clarity and understanding can make another decision. So, but the idea is not to panic and also not to take for granted the fact that if you've been fully vaccinated, that you have a complete, you know, freedom card as far as like not adhering to social distancing and masks. You just don't. And the negative part is, you know, in Washington State, there's been over 100 cases of people catching COVID after they've had the vaccination. And then let's just add one more little thing before we get into what the show is going to be about tonight. We'll be relaxing and refreshing, I promise. But the idea that there are these new strains, and in a lot of the vaccines have said that those cases they are effective against these new strains so far in certain tests, I guess. But also, if you're not ready to do the vaccine part of it, and you're just following guidelines, keeping your visitations with people, you know, at distance, and not taking any chances, just sort of living your life but being cool and taking the precautions until you make a choice and figure out, you know, what might make your life, you know, what you need to do that works best in your life. I'm just hoping that most of the people out there are realizing that we're still in it. We're still affected by it. You know, a lot of people who listen to the show who are in the food worker groups, are a lot of people going back to work. Some aren't, either by choice or they have some be able to get rehired because some of the places aren't taking back everybody yet. So there's opportunities. Thank goodness the stimulus is happening and unemployment was extended. So people can make some really good decisions. It's like a really it's an easier time in some cases because the stress is disappearing, but not the stress around the fact that we have to be as smart and as respectful of each other and help each other as much as possible, which is, you know, the mantra and motto of you know, Foodomania. So just try to be cool and, you know, gosh, writing back and forth and just playing volleyball with, you know, smart-ass comments and disrespectful things to each other's opinions. I mean, in some cases, yeah, I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to be told, yeah, you know, say, what are you effing kidding me? But, you know, for the most part, you know, respectful banter back and forth is okay, but I think it takes away the energy of just trying to get through this time and look for the positive. There are so many things happening. The earth, for instance, the sun's out a bit. Things are popping out of the ground. The air is clean, and it's raining a little bit, and things are getting, you know, they're getting prepared for those little buds of, you know, beauty that pop out, and suddenly we're going to be in springtime, and we really are in a sense, and that's just an uplifting start of the day right there. A little bit of delicious food, a couple of bites of something good, something hot to drink, before you get all pissed off at the person next to you in the grocery line, okay? Anyway, all right, that's it. All right, so I was just, you know, working on a couple of things with leftovers in the kitchen and just creating a few ideas, and I posted a few things over the last couple of days. A couple of different sorts of fruit and some savory, some potato knish mixture and some various things that I wanted to experiment with. So popped an idea in my head. I don't know why, but pineapple just came forth to me. And, you know, we're always talking about different associations with different types of savory and sweet dishes that we cook. And in some cases, many cases on Foodomania, for some reason, for the love of pizza, comes to the forefront. So, you know, we've discussed pizzas many, many times. And again, that's connected to the whole pineapple concept. And I wanted to just tonight talk a little bit about that sort of thing, talk about pineapples, talk about the, yes, you know, is it pineapple yes, pineapple no? Yeah, pizza, you know that people, there are some people who will not talk to you for a year if you serve them pineapple on a pizza, and other people swear by liking that combination and using it in different ways. But then I want to talk about some salsas. I want to talk about cutting a pineapple. I want to talk about grilling a pineapple. I absolutely want to talk, absolutely, no question, pineapple upside down cake, pineapple fritter. And what better to sort of bridge the gap of pineappleness? We'll have a special guest in the second part of the show. Absolutely, from what I understand, a direct call from the island of Maui, somebody who is immersed in pineapples. She's been part of the East Coast moving slowly but surely out west, but finding a passion and love for Hawaii. And we'll hear a little bit about that adventure a little bit later today. All right, so onward and upward. Washington State is doing some interesting things right now as far as like coming back to life and as far as opportunities and things that are happening in our towns. You know, we talk about the restaurant part of it, but the phase three aspect of the restaurant has now expanded to phase four. And that's allowing a little bit more openness in, you know, the traffic in and out of the restaurant, more customers, a little bit ease. Like I said, there are some people who are still feeling a little bit shy about going into restaurants, but it seems to me that generally speaking, almost all the places that I've come in contact with over about the last 10 days are just happy to be back, and there are lines. I've seen people waiting online. Also, there's been talk about two things. You know, during the pandemic, they changed the alcohol rules. In some cases, you were able to actually buy cocktails to go. And that's been, you know, you can literally get your food and at the same time basically get yourself which I think is neat. You know, if you want a cocktail, you're doing a picnic or eating outside, you could get yourself a mixed drink. Now, some restaurants are trying to expand that possibility, and Washington is, you know, talking about it right now. And hopefully they'll be able to expand on that. For some businesses, it's proven to be a really good source of income. And it's actually have been able to put some bartenders back to work early during the to-go thing. So we'll see how that goes. Of course, safely, you know, in certain places, like anybody who's been down south in New Orleans, it's a regular thing. They even have vending machines where you can buy, you know, certain kinds of cocktails and things. There's always the, like anything else, we hope that even though they're carting hard alcohol cocktails and to-go containers in the vehicle on the way home, that you'll refrain from drinking any of that stuff while you're driving. But other than that, why the heck not? If that's your pleasure, it would be really great if the state allows that to continue to happen. And I think a lot of it's going to be based on what I just talked about, just certain rules about safety or that sort of thing. So we'll see how that goes, and that's good news. Other than that, also you're seeing retail stores open up a lot more, and they had the big Kiwanis thrift store here, local, a big opening this past weekend. And I know they're limiting to maybe, I think it's 5 or 6 people inside at a time, but those of you who love that store and love that part of our lives where we can go out and spend a couple hours just rummaging through stuff, I, you know, miss that a lot. Just finding treasures. I always say one person's treasure is another person's treasure, or even better than that, I don't like to use the word all the time, but, you know, somebody's clutter is another person's treasure. I used to say one man's trash is another man's treasure. I don't, you know, this, you know what I'm talking about. I really love, one of the things I love the best is when you go to a thrift store and you see somebody walking out with a really nice, really cool looking toaster under their arm, and inadvertently they have a big smile on their face, and you know for a fact that they are, no question about it, they're thinking, okay, which bakery am I going to stop at? What kind of toast am I having tonight? Oh, English muffins and butter at 3 a.m. I'm excited. So that's part of the whole thrift store. Or you see somebody pick up a lamp or a shirt. And there's this one fellow I see constantly in this area when you go to thrift stores for years. He's such a good-looking guy. He's probably in his mid to late 60s, full head of hair, coming back. He looks like but he's in the Rudolph Valentino, Anthony Quinn when he was younger category, Cesar Romero, I think of, you know, he just looks so, God, debonair, you know. And I run into him so many times. I think he's kind of said hi, but not really talked. But I know that almost every time I've seen him, it's usually a beautiful Hawaiian shirt in his hand that he got off the rack or something that part of this guy's wardrobe, you know. Very, very cool. I remember that's another just really thing that I'll miss, you know, going to, I'd see somebody who's definitely retired and they're probably looking for, a couple of washers to fix the faucet in their house, and then stumble across an old, measuring tool or something. And I just remember standing across the room and looking at this person and just, I could see the stories going in his brain when he's just holding this measurement tool in his, you know, hand. And after he just put down his little container of nuts and bolts that he slowly but surely, diligently picked out just the ones that he knew he needed, knew he's going to be able to complete that faucet project tomorrow. All right, I'm going to put a little music on to give us a little break. Everybody take a drink of water, take a, you know, I don't know, take a stretch, have another piece of pizza. I'll tell you about the Easter meal that we had about an hour and a half ago, too. It was really fun, really happy. It was like sort of the Easter Sunday, and, of course, after the end of Passover. So we broke that, we broke a couple of traditions, a couple of, you know, traditions for what you're not supposed to eat during Passover, and really, really went to town with some really beautiful clams and local shrimp prawns. So nothing like, you know, kosher versus, absolutely not kosher. But, you know, we have an international love of food, and foodomania household. So it was very nice. All right, let's have a little bit of, you know, have a break. As I said, I want to listen to, and you guys see here, just a song that I think represented today. Very beautiful blue skies, crystal clear, about 10 mile an hour winds, temperature about 47, 48. Just like felt like you were just taking a dip in a beautiful waterfall, you know. It just was refreshing. So here's a song to kind of have that memory. Wow, I love that song, Christopher Cross Sailing. That was produced by Daniel Inouye, who's such a great producer. And that was the simplicity of the piano track on that song, just the space. I don't know about you, but I feel like I was just on a boat. All right, I'm so excited to be here with you all. There's a whole bunch of things are going on at Foodmania and in 1020 Radio Studios, and I guess I make an announcement. I think it's not too premature, but a lot of you know that a lot of people have listened to my shows over the years, and I had a show that was part of my music, you know, programs, and it was called Chef Stuart's The All Around the World Music Show. Stuart's The All Around the Music Show premiered about 11 or 12, 11 years ago, I think, and it was on KSVR for about 5 years. And KSVR is the Skagit Community Radio Station, public radio station, broadcast here, and they also have their sister station up in Concrete. Anyway, in the time that we've known each other and associated, I left there about 6 years ago and shut the show, you know, moved on, and show was filled in by another really great DJ who took that slot, and it was Friday night. I loved it. It was 8 to 10 on Friday nights. Sometimes I went a little bit later, but it was a really cool Friday night show, playing music from all over the world, different musicians. I interviewed some really great people, had great call-ins and guests. We had guitar technicians and sound people and tribute band members and a few well-known producers in the Northwest. And so it was kind of a sad day. And I left in a bittersweet moment because, you know, it was just time to move on and different things in life dictated it. But I found out a couple of weeks ago, I really haven't been in touch with anybody there for several years. But unbeknownst to me, I got a call from my former producer and operations incredible, talented guy who I worked with there for several years. And we talked and reconnected and said, oh, by the way, would you be interested in doing a show again? So all I'll say is yes, it's official, the All Around the World Music Show on regular radio, but also streamed worldwide. So if you can still continue to stream it, it's going to be really fun to be back. And it's the music shows, you know, I always put music things happening in Foodmania, but this is totally dedicated to music that you'll all love, that I love. Plus, always featuring local new artists, breaking news recordings and things that are happening here at 1020 Radio. Always surprises and introductions to people who are doing so many things that have changed, aside from even before the pandemic. But now, when that show comes back on the air, we'll probably be able to connect with a lot more live music. And I plan on doing, as it gets safer, to have a couple of guest artists at the studio here, to be able to do some live broadcasting like we always did there. And then we'll be back in the real building in September on campus, hopefully by then. Right now, all the programming and broadcasts on KSVR are being done remote. So it's really cool. I'm so excited to get back and see some of these people and work with them again. And I'll be back on Friday nights again, so not sure of the exact time yet. Because it may be around 6 o'clock hour, somewhere in that area. It'll be a little earlier, but fun way to start your Friday night for sure. Okay, enough about me and all that stuff, but I just thought people might want to know. And, of course, Foodmania will continue, as it always does. And if you haven't heard, we'll talk more about the Zoom cooking classes. That it'll be there's going to be a couple of free classes, and there'll be some that just sign up like a regular course. But we'll be doing a couple of open Zoom classes. I think we can have up to 50 people or something like that as participating in it. Real cooking, real time. And it'll be set up that you'll actually be able to cook along with us. So we'll tell you more about that as it happens. All right, right now I got a call. And it looks like I got a call from Hawaii, as I said. So we have chefs joining us. Let's just all say hello to Jennifer. And I wanted to also say that you're listening to Foodomania on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for being here. So let's see if she's with us. Jennifer, are you there?
Hey, aloha.
All right. Fantastic.
Hi.
We have contact. How are you? Nice to hear your voice.
How are you? Such a good show.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I've been listening in the waiting room.
I love that Christopher Cross song.
Yeah, that's a good one. It gets everybody in the mood to do some sailing, and I just thought, wow, ocean. So tell us, where are you broadcasting from?
I am broadcasting from Maui in Kihei, Maui. So,
wow.
Yes, right along the coastline across from all the beaches, and yes, it's gorgeous here.
Nice. So, and how is it going over there as far as like restaurants? Are they open or are some still closed? Or what's the general, what's the COVID situation basically? They're not so much talking about that, but, you know, how is it affecting restaurants and all that right now?
Sure. Most of them are open and at different capacities based on a lot of them moved to like, over 50%. They're still like some are distancing, making sure that it's like 6 feet apart. Still, they're not side by side in all tables, and they're taking advantage of the outdoor seating as much as possible, but everyone's still really enforcing the CDC guidelines as much as possible. And I mean, not 100%, not
right.
Everyone who was out of work is back yet. That can't happen just yet. But I know they've had at least 3 bakeries over the last month that have been around for, maybe the oldest one is over 70 years old, that closed most. Yeah. So along the Hawaiian Islands, some really classic bakeries closed. The last one, the most recent one, was Love's Bakery, which is like really sad. Just they're all 3 were pretty iconic, So,
wow.
So businesses are still closing, and they're still trying to make
closing,
it.
So some of them are closing permanently as well. Is that what you're saying?
Permanently closing.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and a lot of them are also still revamping their restaurant concept. So, they're adding more grab-and-go, more takeout, more, because I think that's, in my opinion, where people are still going to feel a lot more, they're going to feel safer doing that for
right.
a while, So they're really trying to accommodate the public and their interest in the safety, of course, and accommodate that, takeout, delivery, what have you, grab and go. Yeah. Curbside pickup. Yep.
Wow.
So,
but I think, it seems so far away. I mean, we're not hearing, I don't know how many people are really paying attention to, some of the changes, but I guess it's universal. I imagine the same changes that are here happening there, but it's sad to hear that these small businesses are having to close, and that's just that's the sad part. And also, of course, that takes away the more job potential, especially on Maui. I'm sure that I'm sure there's probably a whole bunch of food people out of work right now. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's, So are you seeing any kind of pop-up places pop up, because that's happening a lot here. People are popping up like once or twice a week or something like that with whatever the specialty might be. So you might got a Cubano sandwich pop-up, or there's a guy who's doing wood-fired pizzas. A couple of people are doing pizzas once or twice a week, like in parking lots and stuff. Have you seen anything like that?
I haven't, actually. I don't know that I haven't had my pulse on that too much. I do know that it's a very saturated market for food trucks. So those
right.
are mobile and a lot, and they're doing really well. Those are always doing really well.
Yeah.
So
nice. And are they like all over, or is there, they have any kind of a central location where there's like 10 or 15 trucks, or are they just here and there and everywhere?
Well, there are a few designated parking lots that are specifically for the food trucks, and one large parking lot in a kind of in between a bunch of strip malls, but they have a designated day on the weekend. I think it's 11 to 4 that all the different food trucks will come in that specific day. And so people in that area can take advantage of, and as well as the food trucks, you know, go in a location maybe they aren't always able to get to during the week. And so
right. There's
that. Yep. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, and the other question I was just thinking about too is just grocery stores. Like they have, I mean, give me a comparative idea of what the markets are like there, like the public groceries. Are they sort of a big Safeway type store, or are they a little smaller independent grocers? What do you have? Do you have a Trader Joe's there or something like
that? No, nothing like that. But there is a Safeway. So on Maui, there's Safeway. There's Time Supermarket. There's the Island Grocery, which may be a cross between, gosh, what is it? It's not quite a grocery outlet, but it's just kind of like a lower end store. I love it. I love shopping there.
Cool.
I don't think there's any equal comparison at all to, like, except the Safeway of the grocery stores here, because even the Time Supermarket and there's Foodland. So they're all like, they have like Time Supermarket where I go has kind of a really fun, large Asian section of groceries to choose from. There's a ton of grab and go. I mean, I think that was happening even before COVID, where bentos are a big thing. Musubi, different variations of musubi is a big thing. There's really a fun grocery store. What is it? Island Grocery? Island Gourmet. So, which is owned by ABC, which is a huge corporation out here, but it's groceries to different kinds of sandwiches and sushis, and so a whole variation of foods from different cultural backgrounds to choose from, which is fun.
The other thing is, like, do they have what's the price kind of situation? Okay, and just as far as butcher and fish, do they have really great fish markets, or is there readily available, you know, it seems to me there would be great fish there.
Oh, absolutely. If you know a local, that's the best place to get it. And I don't know which of the markets has the freshest fish per se, but
I was thinking there's some little, like, you'd be driving along the shore or something, and are there these little places where, you know, they have little signs of fresh seafood where you just pull into somebody's garage or driveway and they got big, you know, a whole big thing of ice with stuff right off the boat. That's in my brain, I would think, would stay there someplace, you know.
Yeah, that would be nice, but I haven't seen that yet. Not to say it doesn't
exist. Haven't
seen
it, okay.
I'm
having a premonition. I'm having a premonition. I think that you got to make a left turn next time take the left road instead of the right road next time. And I just have a feeling you're gonna find it. It's gonna be right there. His name is Bombo. That's his name. Like, instead of
is
Mambo,
it? Okay.
With a B. Bombo.
Bombo.
Fishmonger.
Okay.
He's a really, really. He's smaller than you think. He's a big guy, but smaller than you think. But when he's talking or he's anything to do with fish, he lights up like a, you know, like a giant flare. He loves fish. So look for Bombo. All right.
But
I do see
a lot of people fishing along the beach, just naturally fishing. Uh-huh. I ran into some guy and I was hanging out at the beach and he had two poles going and he was really into it. And then a couple seconds later, I see him jumping up and down like he got one. And I was like,
yeah,
you got
that's
one?
What
he's
I'm
like,
wondering.
Yeah, I got one.
So that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, if you know how to fish, you just catch your own.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because, I mean, even where, you know, live up here in the Northwest where you used to hail from, that, you know, if you know people, it's just pretty easy to get down to the docks and find somebody who's going out or somebody who knows somebody who just went out and brought stuff in. And it's, you know, guys and girls go out for half a day or whatever and they come back with something. So I'm just wondering if it's plentiful in the waters around Maui, if people get on their boats and they go out and they come back with beautiful stuff, just like we do here. I imagine they do. So be nice to Bombo's cousin has a boat. So after you meet Bombo, maybe he can introduce you to his cousin, who will remain nameless right now. But
nameless.
I wish you luck on that. It'd be fun to get some really beautiful sashimi in Hawaii. I imagine, especially somebody with Hawaiian and Japanese ancestry, who knows exactly how to cut that fish. Probably going to be a delicious meal that day. So tonight, you know, we're talking about pineapple or no pineapple, and you know, the initial reference was connecting it to pizza. So, what is your feeling, Ms. Sheehan, on pineapple on pizza? Is it not because you're in Hawaii or anything, but is that something that you favor?
Nay, I do not favor pineapple on pizza. It is not a favorite.
So in
it's
your
too
work
sweet
experience.
For me on pizza. Like when I think of pizza, I think of savory, and I want my pizza to be savory. And I don't know, fruit doesn't belong on pizza.
All right, yeah, because now I know I've worked, you know, in different pizza places and been to hundreds of them. And, you know, it's a consensus. There are some places I know in Brooklyn or in, you know, the East Coast that there's no way. They won't even mention the word. Pineapple does not exist, and that doesn't matter how much money you want to spend or how hard you ask and beg. They're never going to do it. And then there are other places that, you know, think that, you know, the pineapple and ham, you know, Hawaiian-style pizza is Hawaiian. And is it just saying that it's Hawaiian because it has pineapple? I don't know. So
it is. Yeah. They kind of,
what,
a lot of people make that association.
but
Hawaiians, you'll not find like a, that's not like a thing.
I can't.
All
right. The first question before we get into the pineapple exploration stand pizza, what's the pizza scenario that you've seen in Maui? You got to hear about that. What do you know? What do you do? Whether you've eaten it or not, what have you seen?
Well, I've been told that the there are pizza joints, which are one of them, the best one in this neighborhood, I'm told, is called Pizza Madness, and they use super fresh, super local ingredients as much as possible, and I believe it's a thin crust, so there's that. Sounds exciting.
And how do they cook it?
And
you know what their mode of... What is their mode of cooking? Is it wood fire or coal or gas? Yeah, find that out. That'd be interesting to see. And what's the next
one? That's a need to know. the other one is Roy Yamaguchi has some restaurants, and I know he's been known to make some type of like flatbread pizzas with different Asian-esque ingredients on it. There might be like a margarita pizza in there, but some do a really fun spin on the pizzas that way.
Uh-huh.
And
from what you've seen so far, no New York slice place over there at this point, it sounds like.
I have not seen that, no.
I think it's probably... That might have to be your next...
I would love to find those... wood fires and all that, because there's a ton of Pizza Huts and Domino's Pizza, and that's where you can get a lot of the, place that is, one place is called Manoli's, actually, who looks like they have a really good pizza. That's an Italian restaurant in Wailea. That I kind of had my eyeball in. I just thought of that. I was like, oh yeah.
They probably have Italian dishes. They probably make pizza. So what do you think? Do they sell Hawaiian style pizzas in Maui? I wonder if Pizza Hut probably has one.
Oh, yes, they do. They do. And
crazy.
Yes.
when you use pineapple to cook, you think, you were talking about you like savory and then, anything with fruit is sweet. But I know you make some beautiful rice dishes and you do some really incredible, Filipino style rice combinations, as well as the ones, the different stir fried rice things. So tell me what you've done or what you would think about using. Have you ever done any kind of a pineapple fried rice or anything like that?
I have. Growing up, we cooked a lot of Asian food, and we put, I'll tell you, this is kind of cute. So I knew we were going to have this conversation, and I was thinking about all the things I grew up with, and we did put pineapple in our fried rice. Made a pineapple sweet and sour sauce. If we didn't make it, we ate it a lot, in our takeout food. Then my mom
but you made your own sweet
often
and sour
made.
Nice.
Oh yeah. 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 We made a lot of, my mom would always, not always, but we often did a lot of Chinese food. So, or variations of it. around the house.
And
so
how do you incorporate pineapple into?
Well, like the fried rice or the sauces, or we even grew up with Spam, sauteed Spam in a pan that had the pineapple brown sugar sauce on it. So
wow. So that's because Spam is big.
So I'm in my element out here, really.
Yeah, no kidding. Well,
I'm in good company.
Some Filipino good friends of mine they do a Spam thing with pineapple, but they've done it in a different way with, very spicy Spam. I can't remember what the thing was, but it was sliced sort of very, very thin. They froze it and sliced it really thin, and then they stir-fried it in this very spicy, sort of tomato-based, of course, some sort of sauce. But the way they were able to get that Spam, they did it in a pan with a little bit of, very hot, thin pan with oil, and they got this beautiful crisp on it. So it really did sort of look like a piece of bacon or pastrami or something like that. And they did it in a delicate way so it maintains its shape. And then I remember them throwing some pineapple juice and sugar in it. Does that sound familiar?
I have not had that yet. I can taste it though when you're describing it.
Right.
But I haven't seen that yet.
So in your house in Chicago, your family's cooking dinner and they did Spam and that pineapple sugar sauce or whatever you were saying. Where'd they get that idea from?
From Betty Crocker or the Spam can. I don't know.
Really? Okay, we got to research
that
one. Because
picked up random recipes.
Well, I know we had, my mom had a caregiver that, and worked with her, took care of the house for a lot of years, early family member, Janie, and she was originally from Georgia and lived in Brooklyn. And she virtually raised me and my sister. And she was with the family for about 15 years. And she would always cook us, different foods. But I remember the biggest part of the day was making her lunch. And she always just made, basic simple things. But she always had a fresh fruit. It would be like a cantaloupe or a watermelon. But also she was the one that really showed me how to cut a pineapple the first time. I was maybe 8 or 9 years old when I remember her doing that. And she fresh pineapple spears, you know, not out of a can, because I was always just having it out of a can. And she'd always do this little bit of kosher rock salt on the pineapple. And that was like a side dish, you know. So it was incredible.
Yeah.
And so, and that's what I was going to say. For years, I still do just a real speck of sea salt on a pineapple spear. To me, it's like, especially if it's really cold and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Try that sometime. And you can do that on watermelon, too. But I've done it in pineapple fried rice. Have you made some pineapple salsas at all? You must have done that.
I've made pineapple salsa before and pineapple banana bread. And I know pineapple banana bread's really popular out here too. There's a ton of bananas. So.
Right.
And
so
pineapple
Hawaii,
wine
is
still very popular.
Pineapple wine?
Yes, pineapple wine.
So tell me about that process. Do you know what that process is?
I do not.
Wow.
So
I wonder if it's probably they ferment the pineapple, I think. And that's pretty cool. I would think that.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Like, what, I mean, just in the time you've been in Hawaii, you know, we always, it's really say you have to always refer a certain place to a certain food, you know. So, you know, it's going to be Italy is going to be spaghetti and, you know, New York is going to be pizza. And Hawaii is going to be pineapple, you know, or California or Florida is oranges, but or Georgia it's peaches, you know. But in the sense of, I know when I was down in Georgia in the South, Keys and places like that, they always had about 20 different kinds of things with peaches in it, you know. And so I imagine there must be things in Hawaii that are standard things. But what can you say about pineapple and served in a way that us, you know, mainlanders have never seen before, that is maybe a staple over there?
Ooh,
I'm putting you on the spot,
question.
But I'm curious. Yeah, think about it for
pineapple.
A second. You must have seen something. I would imagine.
Pineapple staple. Well, I know Dole Whip, and I know it's in shave ice a lot, and everybody loves shave ice out here. So,
right.
that's
they're not
popular.
Making a big deal about it. They're just picking it, peeling it, cooling it, and eating it, basically. You're not going to see, like, some kind of pie. But I got to imagine there's got to be, like, some sort of, you know, recipes that, you know, you would never see necessarily over here. I mean, you know, because in Italy or even Spain, there were things that were basically the same ingredients, but in a way, you know, they did it in certain things that you've never seen before, you know. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that yet, but you'll be the first to know.
I mean, okay. I've seen like a Hawaiian, you know, a pineapple chicken bake thing where they do a long, what is it called, Little Luna or something. It's like a pineapple chicken staple recipe called Little Luna or something like that. And it's pineapple with chunks of like a chicken, and then they use ketchup or tomato paste. And they have a brown sugar added to it and like apple cider vinegar or rice wine vinegar, if I remember. And then they get that thick, and then it's like some sort of an oyster sauce almost with like that, a little bit of fresh garlic or something. And that's served over some sort of like a bread pudding or something. It's kind of like, it wasn't exactly poi, but it was like, it just felt like you took, got bread very soggy or something. I can't remember what it was. And that was some sort of a luau sort of dish that I remember having to prepare about 10 years ago for some catering job that I did. But it's some sort of staple chicken and pineapple dish called Little Luna. Maybe it's something like Little Luna or something. So somebody might want to check that out if they want to be adventurous.
Yeah.
You know, there's...
I know they...
Like something...
they. I know they... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I know they do, they can put pineapple in their chicken salad or
nice.
Hawaiian chicken salad with the celery and almonds and the mayonnaise.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And Hawaiian kebabs, like they'll put it on their kebabs with the soy sauce and whatnot,
perfect.
You know, so that's, but I don't think it's too like far out that a lot of people might not know. I don't know. But
right.
Maybe,
Yeah, it's, you know, my opinion, it's, you know, why mess it up? You know, that's like saying, you know, going to India and saying, well, you know, what are the main ingredients there? You know, what do you do with that? Or what do you, but now everything has been so internationalized cooking wise. So you can, you know, live in the United States or whatever, you're going to get a ton of beautiful Indian food, learn all about it. But I haven't seen it too many places over here that are representing something that's traditionally Hawaiian, unless I did, like I said, you probably have catered to luau and done those sort of things with that theme, or maybe a, you know, some kind of smoked pig or something like that, or something that, you know, you can associate with a Hawaiian, you know, with a papaya salsa and a piece of, you know, white fish or something like that. But when it comes to pineapple, I guess for the most part, it's just kind of like a, just like the fruit, just it's always there, you know, and you're always going to eat
yep.
it to figure out something
yeah.
else to do. But the thing that honestly I'm really curious about is this pineapple wine. So maybe in the future you can research that a little bit and we'll post the recipe. Or you need to make some and drink a whole bunch of it and tell us what you thought, you know. Take notes, you know. Like, take notes in the brewing process and then the sampling process. And because it sounds to me it would be incredible. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Like go ahead.
Sorry. You really what?
No, go ahead. Just go ahead. Go ahead. Remember, we have that like
said
a
after three
months. Second. We have a 2 second delay. So that's unfortunately what happens until we get used to it. We kind of talk over each other a little bit. So forgive me. I don't mean to interrupt. So go ahead.
Okay, so it said after about 3-4 months, you can think about bottling the wine, and it will improve with aging. So you can age it up
nice.
To 6 to 8 months after that.
All right. Well,
but it's kind of, I remember, it's kind of Scotto-ish, if I remember
oh, okay.
right. So I haven't had it in a long time, but yeah.
I bet you must be real, just like a really locally homemade, you know, Italian grape wine. From somebody who's been doing it forever, and it's just like nothing you've ever tasted. All right, gosh, Ola, we're almost out of time. We only got a couple of minutes left, but Jen, just thank you so much for calling. So quickly, in about a minute or less, tell people how they can reach you.
A minute or less, okay. You can reach me at Chef Jennifer Marie on Instagram, or... that's probably the best way to reach me, at Chef Jennifer Marie on Instagram.
Okay, well, that was done in like less than 30 seconds. That was great. Anyway, and you also
I mean, if they
want to
call me
on.
Direct.
Okay, well, let's do it that way. It's always for safety reasons, and people write you, they get in touch with you, then you can figure that part of it out. You don't like give people's phone numbers out necessarily on the air. But the thing that's really great is also you can check Facebook and also Foodomania page. Her posts will appear on there. She has some really great recipes, great ideas. So give her a jingle, and or DM or whatever they call it, that instant message,
yeah.
and she'll be able to connect you with some really delicious food. But also she could be your guide in Maui. So if you're planning a trip over there or you need some information, she might be able to help you too. She's a great person. She's totally your Foodomania correspondent tour guide of the Pacific. So thank you, Jen, for being with us tonight. And have a happy holiday. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All right. All right. Good night. All right. Thank you very much for that call. All right, you ladies and gentlemen and people all over the world. That's it. We're out of time. Reach me at Chef Gerardo, CHEF is in Frank, S is in Sam, TUARTO at hotmail.com, blogtalkradio.com/Chef Gerardo as well, or Chef Gerardo's Foodomania. Get in touch with us. Get in touch with the shows. We have a couple of hundred shows in the archive that is right there for y'all to listen to. And I hope that you'll continue to tune in, and thank you for your support. The final word is you got to be safe out there. If you're back to work at the restaurant, you know what to do. Stick with it. Don't let up on it. You know, be safe. This is so worth it. We don't have much more to go. All right, good night. Foodomania is produced in the Pacific Northwest, N20 Radio Studio.